Alpha, that you are Alpha.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
One more time, you are Alpha, Lord.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Lord, we give you all, we give you all.
We give you all the glory. We worship you.
Father, we thank you that we have you to worship. We have you to adore. We have you to magnify. And you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. We bow ourselves before you, knowing, O God, that true fulfillment is in you, life is in you, wholeness is in you. And today we come to receive your life, your fullness. We come to be transformed. We come to be renewed. We come, Lord, to be forever changed. In honor of your name, that we may represent you well as a people plucked out of the fire, a people chosen, a people marked by the name of the Most High. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful privilege to say that you are Lord. You have full ownership of our lives. And you're making something extraordinary out of ordinary people, transforming us and making us flames of your fire, the fire of God. Thank you, Lord, that it is well with our souls. We've been perfectly engineered by the mind that's above all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for making us weapons in your hands. Thank you, Father, that you're making us, O God, representatives of your word. And your word is a hammer. It is smashing through every obstacle, smashing through every resistance. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. The God we serve is an awesome God and is worthy of our praise, of our worship, of our adoration. In the 23rd Psalm and the 5th verse, the Word of God says, He, meaning God, has anointed me with his oil, my cup runneth over. That's an extraordinary statement. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. But preceding that statement is this statement: Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Colon. And generally, when we see that colon there, it means grammatically that the statement following is explaining, enhancing the statement previous. So when it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, colon, thou anointest my head with oil, then it means that the anointing of God, that anointing of God, is the anointing that causes you to be able to face up with your enemies and be at peace. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence. So with the anointing, it doesn't matter whether the enemy is present or not. Praise the Lord. Are you getting that? Do you get it? If you got it, wave at me. I want to be sure. Okay, I will say it again. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So the enemy is there. But if that the anointing with oil is referencing the preparation of the table before me, then it means that when you have the anointing, it doesn't matter that there's an enemy or not. Now, do you get it? So my quest is not, how am I going to face the enemy? Because it doesn't matter what enemy shows up or doesn't show up when I'm anointed. The Word of God says He's anointed me with oil, with joy, the oil of joy. And because of that oil of joy, I'm above. I operate in another dimension. When we have that anointing, the Word of God continues, says, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over has to do with an abundance, with an overflow. So the anointing of God on my life brings about an overflow, not sufficiency, overabundance. Now, overflow can be messy when overflow is in the wrong setting. But God is saying, I want to so bless you that there is an overflow. Amen? So much overflow that my goodness and my mercies are following you everywhere you go. So the anointing releases the overflow, and part of the overflow is the manifestation of surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? I'm anointed. Do you understand? I am anointed, and because I'm anointed, I attract overflow. Because I am anointed, goodness and mercy follow me every day of my life. Because I'm anointed, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The anointing causes you to have the capacity to abide. Is somebody listening? The anointing causes you to abide. If you are flaky, it's because you're not anointed. Some people are nut jobs. You know, granola bar, nut jobs. Huh? That's not you when you're anointed. And you are not concerned about enemies because you are anointed. He anoints your head with oil, your cup runneth over. And he does that because he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God does not need to drive away enemies to anoint you. He anoints you in spite of them, because while he anoints you, they become meat for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I must have the anointing. Say it again. I must have the anointing. Today, Lord, anoint me. 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 Lord, anoint me. If you do not know the purpose of a thing, you don't desire it. I said this morning, tonight is going to be an anointing service. Did I announce it or not?
Yes.
But those that don't understand are not here. Those that understand or want to understand showed up. And I'm saying to you, number one, get this. When you're anointed, it doesn't matter whether there's an enemy or no enemies. You are not concerned about them. They need to be concerned about you. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil needs to be concerned about you. Glory be to God. He needs to be petrified about you. Hallelujah. I said the devil needs to be petrified. He needs to be afraid and be very, very afraid. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the glory of God is upon your life. The anointing. Some said the anointing. I must have the anointing. Glory be to God. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Just a second. There is abundance when the anointing is present. Glory be to God. There will be abundance of every good thing in my life. Because God does not just give me droplets. He pours it on. Overflow. And then it says, because of that anointing, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Not some of the time, all the days of my life. And I will dwell, I will abide in the house of the Lord. The word of God says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall be fat and flourishing in his courts. They that are what? Planted. Planted. Somebody say, I am planted in the house of the Lord. Glory be to God. Your capacity to abide is because of the anointing. And when you have this anointing that causes you to be planted, you come to the place of awareness that Psalm 24 points to, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You have a different perspective. The earth is the Lord. It does not belong to the devil. How do you come to that awareness? You have received an anointing. That's how you come to that awareness. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, they are all God's. And therefore they will align and not disturb me by not granting to me what belongs to me, which is God's goodness and God's mercy. Because I am anointed and this whole world belongs to the Lord, every enemy becomes subject to me because God has prepared a table for me. In their presence, I will be blessed in your presence. You cannot say you will not go anywhere. You will not succeed in life. I am the manager here. I'm going to block you. You're not going to have a promotion. You are not going to have an increase. You're not going to have a bonus. You're not going to have this contract. Who born monkey? Who are you? I am the anointed of God, and God says, all of this belongs to him. I belong to him. And God says, in your face, I get blessed. If you don't give me what is due me, you are removed. Can you be so bold when you know who you are and the manager is saying, I'm not going to say, tell you what, you are fired. See, who are you talking to? You know who you talk. I said, I'm talking to you. You are fired. I'm your boss. No. You got it mistaken. He is my boss, and you are here to help me, promote me, help me get to where I need to get to. But if you are in my way, you are toast. But you don't understand what I'm talking about. You carry yourself differently. But if you're not anointed and you say you are fired to your manager, guess who's getting fired? You. They will show you the door and say, "This, get everything on your table. Security, walk him out." But when you are anointed, there is a grace, there is a glory on your life that gives you the impetus to say what you need to say, because you know that nobody has that power over you but God, who has anointed you and says, I'm your good shepherd. You're not going to lack anything. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear any evil, because the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. I believe that God is going to raise men and women in this last of the last days that know who they are, and that the devil is the one who's going to be afraid, not us. Glory be to God. Not you. You're not called to be afraid. They should be afraid of you. We had a prime minister here that wanted to terrorize us as a church. I sent him a letter. You don't change. You're going to be fired twice in one day. He did not listen, because he was riding high in the polls. And a week or two before the elections, the scandal hit and he dropped in the polls, and the Conservative Party came into power. And he, on the day he lost, said with his own mouth, I am no longer going to be the head of my party. I said, there you go. Hooray. Once fired by the country, and you with your own mouth fired yourself the second time. I told you, you're going to be fired twice in one day. How dare you tell me what I'm going to preach? Any prime minister, any government that tries to tell me what I'm going to preach, they will find out that there is a God in heaven and that you don't mess with anointed men and women of God. Amen. We're not called to be afraid of anybody. You're going to tell me what I'm going to preach. Excuse me? Not when the anointing of God is upon our heads. God, the God we serve, is not a weakling. He's sovereign. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says something remarkable about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So we have the anointing of oil, but here it talks about the anointing with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about doing good. Why is he going about doing good? Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness is not just for me. The mercy is not just for me. It is the grace upon my life to bring goodness into the lives of people and bring the mercy of healing unto those that have been oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Say, for God was with him. One more time. For God was with him. Again, for God was with him. God was with him. That's why God anointed him. So the anointing is God with you. Come on. Somebody help me here. The anointing is God with you. Somebody say, God is with me. But remember this statement we tapped into just before the Christmas. It said, before God is with you, Emmanuel, God with us, he has to be God in you. Before God was with, he was in Mary. So God has to be in me to be with me. Hallelujah. Now, how is God in me? The Word of God tells us that when we walk in love with each other and we love God and walk in obedience to his directives, that he will come and make his abode with us. That's him being in us. My obedience to the directives of God. God gives me an instruction and I follow through with that instruction. I follow the directives of God because he is my good shepherd. He's shepherding my life. He's caring for me. He's directing my path. Because I acknowledge him in all of my ways, he will direct my path. Are you hearing the word of God? Jesus, anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed all that were oppressed. And tonight, I believe that God will heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. And not only is God going to heal you as one that has been oppressed of the devil, but also will use you to be one who brings that freedom to other people. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 61, and verse 1. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me. So the anointing is for something. He anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The anointing was given because God is with. The anointing is given to bring deliverance to the captives. The anointing is here declared so that we can bring forth good news. Verse 1 again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach. Let's think about that a moment. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me, marked me out, ordained me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Not the proud, the meek. The meek are those that are willing to hear the word of God and come in submission under his lordship. He's anointed me to preach good news to the meek. But watch this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, for, we can switch those two words, because or for. Yes? The Lord hath anointed me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, what does that mean? It means that God has assigned you to do something, to accomplish something, and because he has assigned you to do something, he comes upon you so that you can keep on doing it. Are we together? God has called you to do something, so he anoints you to be able to fulfill. So the anointing is there to make sure that you never fail. Say, Lord, anoint me. I need this anointing, the anointing that will cause me never to fail, because the anointing is there to fight for me. The anointing is there to empower me. The anointing is there to equip me. The anointing is there to give me direction. The anointing is there to break strongholds and to bring about perfect results at the end. That's why the anointing. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. I'm anointing you so you can do everything I have called you to do. So the language of I couldn't do it because is redundant. That's not a true statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm anointed to complete everything I start. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God doesn't take me halfway to drop me. If I'm losing steam, I must cry out, God, you promise me that you will never leave me nor forsake me. You are God with me. The anointing to fulfill this mandate must abide with me. If there's any way or shape where I am leaking out, Lord, seal every hole. I cannot leak. Hallelujah. You know what? The overflow of God takes care of the leaks. You know, you can be leaking and he's still filling you up. That's if you continue to do what he's called you to do. But if you quit and you are not in service, you drain out. I pray that you're hearing what I'm saying to you tonight. He had sent me, I am sent, to bind up the brokenhearted. And basically what God is saying to us is that there are people who are brokenhearted, and he's sent to bind up those brokenhearted people, bind up those hearts, mend it. He says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Proclaim liberty to the captives. What is that? It is to say to the person that is bound, you are free. On the basis of what? On the basis of God, on the basis of the fact that I am anointed to declare your freedom. Two, that God is here with me. Three, that he has declared that your prison doors are now wide open, now come out. Hallelujah. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What is that? That is you proclaiming what God said you can do. You've been authorized, I've been authorized to declare to people, you are free. On the basis of what? The truth of God. Now, having declared the truth of God to you, you need to hold on to that truth and continue in that truth. But right now, I am the agent that God has sent your way. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his very first declared message in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, comes and he declares Isaiah 61. The Bible says he was handed the scroll and he found the place. It means he looked for it. He opened up to that particular passage in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Isaiah used the word meek. And here he expands that statement and says, the poor. Who is this poor? This word for poor here is not the kind of poverty where you have something, but you don't have enough. This word here is the kind of poverty where you are totally destitute. You have no capacity to come out. You're destitute in your mind, you're destitute financially, your background, everything. There's no chance. This is coming to the person that is, a drug head. He's totally drugged up and his brain is fried. And you come to this person and you say, hey, I bring you good news. You're free. In what world? But that's what he's talking about. To preach the gospel to the poor. This person has no capacity. I've come to preach this good news to you, that freedom is available. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Remember what he said in Isaiah, to preach deliverance to those that are in prison. And what can we pull out from that statement in Isaiah in reference to this particular statement here, and recovering of sight to the blind? What is pointing out to is that people are imprisoned by what they do not see. Your freedom is in your sight. I sent out a New Year greeting. Do you have it? If you have it, just play it for me, if you have it. And this greeting talks about the fact that it is a new season. It's a new season. And yeah, there it is. Blessed New Year to you. Blessed New Year to you. It's a new season in your life. Celebrations are in store for you. And then the statement, see it. If you don't see it, you don't get that celebration. You're blind. The anointing comes to destroy that blindness because your blindness keeps you captive. Your blindness keeps you in prison. And the anointing comes there to shatter that stronghold so that that anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Tonight, as we lay hands on you by the Spirit of the living God, I believe that bondages are going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27 makes this remarkable statement. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. He says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed." Why? Because of the anointing. The yoke of bondage, the yoke of limitation, the yoke of control will be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing comes and shatters whatever it is that is limiting you, whatever it is that is controlling you, that is making you act in a particular way, go in a particular way. The anointing comes and it breaks, and not just breaks it, it destroys. In essence, destroys it so that it cannot be put together again. Hallelujah. Somebody say, "I need the anointing of the Lord. Father, anoint me with a yoke-destroying anointing. Let the yoke of the enemy, the burdens of the enemy, be removed from my shoulder." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, he says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen? But notice the first statement. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." The power of governance shall be upon his shoulder. And then he says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be" what? "No end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel. He sent a word, and that word lighted upon Israel. It landed on him. God is speaking a word, and whatever it is that is spoken over our Lord is spoken over us. It's landing on us. "For we are his shoulder. He is the head, and we are the" what? "The body." Where does the shoulder belong? On the body, yes? So if the government's upon his shoulder, then the government is upon his body, and that body is you and I, we're the church. Hallelujah. So God governs by his church, and if that is the case, then his anointing has to be upon us. How does it happen? Because we operate in the spirit of unity. Glory be to God. If we are going to experience this anointing, it happens because we are operating from the spirit of unity. We're oneness with God and oneness with each other. Psalm 133 puts it this way: "How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It is like the precious ointment or anointing upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Anointed, and it runs down and down. And watch this. That went down to the skirts of his garment. went down to the skirts of this gap. Guess what? For that to happen, that's an outpouring. That's not a little dab. Praise God. Say, Lord, I don't need a dab. I need an outpouring of your anointing on my life. I want to be totally soaked with the anointing. Hallelujah. I want to be dripping anointing wherever I go. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Drip, drip all over the place. You everywhere, because you are an oil man. You oiled up. Glory be to God. But how does this oil of anointing get made? The Bible actually gives us the ingredients of the oil that was used to anoint Aaron. The spices that were needed to anoint him. Everything was measured out in proper order. And that's how he was anointed. When David was anointed, he was anointed with the same oil. Because God separates you and I by the anointing. Praise God. The anointing is what he uses to separate us. In Psalm 89 and verse 20, he says, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Hallelujah. He says, I have found David. So the anointed is one that God finds. Goes and he finds you, locates you. When people have rejected you, he finds you. Praise the Lord. David's father did not account him as anything. In fact, when he came home and said, Dad, a lion tried to take one of the sheep, one of the lambs, and I killed it. Yeah, right. And the next time, a bear came by, and I killed it too. That's very good, son. This lying boy. And so when Samuel came to anoint the next king, he was not even considered. He was not called. They called the other seven. Call this one, call that one, call. And all seven came. But David was not even thought of. He was not good enough. He's a liar. Telling us all these funny stories. You little kid, you killed a lion and you killed a bear, right? You don't have to make up stories. I love you. I love you anyway. You don't have to come here and tell me stories about, you know, all these amazing things that you did. Come on, son. It's okay. But Dad, I did. Yeah, son, yeah, it's okay. All his older brothers were called. And even Samuel could have been deceived. He saw the first one. He says, surely this is the guy. And God says, no. He sees the second, yes, it's got to be this one. Oh, of course. And God says, no. All the way to seven. And none of them were picked. But he knew that he was a prophet of God. He knew he heard God. So he says to Jesse, is this all? He said, no, there's one of them, a little kid out over there, taking care of the little flock that I got. He said, go get that one. And here comes David. This is the one. God finds. That means God will keep on looking until he locates. Amen. And the word of the Lord to us this New Year's Eve service was this, that God was locating us, the blessing was locating us, whatever it is that you need is looking for you. You don't need to go look for it, it is looking for you. The anointing is setting you and I apart for a very strategic purpose. And we shall be weapons in the hands of the Most High God, vessels of honor. Hallelujah. I say vessels of honor. In a great house, there are many different kinds of vessels. And the Word of God says, if you want to be a vessel of honor, not just a casual vessel, then there are certain things you got to do to be the kind of vessel that I can use, the vessel of gold. And God is speaking to every one of us today and saying, I want to use your life. Would you let me use it? Now, there's so much more to share about the anointing, but let us conclude with the word of God in James chapter 5 and verse 14. It talks about if there is anyone sick amongst you, let him call for the elders of the church and let those elders pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord as representatives of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's an interesting statement. Anoint him with oil. He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So in essence, the word of God is saying, when you anoint, there must be faith connection. Don't just put oil on people without exercising faith. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Shall save the sick. I like that statement because it's an interesting statement. It says, shall save the sick. Not just heal the sick, but save the sick. So in essence, the sickness that the enemy brings is for one primary purpose, to destroy you, to kill you. He says, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. He's saved, he's raised up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. On the basis of what? The anointing of oil exercised through the prayer of faith. So God says, because faith was exercised, when you represented me by the oil of anointing, verse 14 again, watch this. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's an act of humility and submission. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, when it makes that statement, in the name of the Lord, it is not just, in the name of the Lord, we anoint you, as if that's the magic statement. When the statement, in the name of the Lord, is used, it is an act of, as a representative of Jesus, as one who is authorized, I speak by his authority over your life. Do you understand? So, you know, many times we don't understand what the statement in the name of the Lord is. That God is saying, you are representing me, and based on the fact that I have authorized you, you are making this statement, and therefore every knee bows to that authority. You get it? The name of Jesus is not abracadabra. Magic. No, it's authority. I come in the name of the Lord. That means you come in because you've been called and authorized by God. I'm speaking on behalf of God. This is what is going to happen. That's what the anointing is about. And when we recognize that, we recognize that it is not based on whatever I bring in my strength. It is based on who it is that I am representing. Capish? I'm representing the Lord. And as a representative of the Lord, as an ambassador of the Lord, I am saying such and such, which means then that heaven and the kingdom of God backs my statement. So now I don't have to worry when I say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be restored. I have nothing else to do. I've done my part. Now the backing force now has to enforce what I said. And it is based on faith. That's a prayer of faith that I am backed up. I'm backed up. I have somebody standing to make sure that what I said comes to pass. Because I represent the authority. Now, we grow in that grace to the point where what I say becomes what God says. Even without me even hearing something, I feel that this is the right thing to do. And I say this right thing to do is what needs to be done in this particular situation. So I have come to a place in my relationship with God where my word becomes His word. So the word of God brings us to the place where He says, come, let us reason together. Amen? That is a place of elevation in God, where your word matters as a representative. Tonight I pray that God will bring us to that place where we become higher level representatives of who He is. I don't know why the Lord is showing me this picture right now, but I remember the first time that I went to the nation. I won't mention the name of the nation because I'll be back in there one of these days. Anyway, I'm in this Islamic nation, that's all I'll say, having this crusade. And they were doing all the preambles, you know, praise and worship and whatever else. And I think I've shown the video here from when I went there. And I'm sitting, and then it was time for me to go preach. So I step up, took the mic, and all of a sudden, there is this strong wind. So I looking around, I thought there was some big fan that was on the stage that was just turned on. And there's no fan. I keep on talking. And I look down, they have like some divider or whatever it is, some demarcation, and it had flags on it going all the way down. And I look, all of the flags are flapping like that. And my, I'm wearing this outfit that, you know, goes down there, and it's like a three-piece suit from their particular culture. My clothes are flapping in the wind like this. I'm saying, what is going on? And I start talking to the people, and I start talking to them about what was happening, and it was the presence of God. The presence of God saying, I'm here. You got backing. I'm here. And oh, the miracles that happened in that crusade. The miracles. I was in a very diabolical, occultic center. I did not know it. Nobody told me. But when that was happening, until I finished preaching, it kept on. As soon as I finished preaching, the wind dropped down. I said, wow, this is amazing. I don't know why the Lord was reminding me about that just then. But it is to say, simply say, the presence of God is manifested in the anointing of God. It says, I'm with you. We are in this together. And tonight, I'm asking God to do something for every one of us that took time to be here. Whether it's the healing of physical bodies, healing of minds, turning things around, sins committed, forgiven, whatever it is that needs to happen, whatever transformation needs to happen, I'm asking that God will engage with us today and say, I'm with you. I want you to remember that. I want you to be bold. I want you to be strong. I want you to know that you are chosen. Man may have not counted you as something, but I have counted you because I came to locate you. Like David, I found David and I anointed him. So also I've located you and I'm anointing you. But when your anointing comes, you must remain humble in understanding that it's not you, it is all him working in you and through you. And that all you and I are representatives. And as a representative, I want to do justice. Do the right thing by the one who has called me and chosen me to be his own. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray for those that are online first. I'm going to ask you to stretch your hands towards me. I'm going to anoint my hands and you stretch. Put one hand on your head and the other one stretch out to me. And that will be a sign of contact in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak a release of the anointing of God on your life. That the anointing to do service, whatever that service is, will be activated in you, and that the abiding presence of the living God will rest upon you. And if you are sick, healings will take place right this very moment. It doesn't matter how long you've held on to that sickness, today it will leave you, and you will walk in divine health. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree your wholeness, O God, to rest upon everyone who, by faith right now, are stretching their hands and have laid a hand upon themselves. Lord, O God, let your healing anointing flow freely and richly upon them. May they receive an activation of faith and experience your God in a fresh, powerful way. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, let the anointing, O God, that they need to accomplish all that must be accomplished in 2026 now be released unto them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I proclaim liberty and deliverance, O God, for your sons and your daughters. I call for this day that the blindness of limitation will cease from their minds, will cease, O God, to exist even physically. Lord, wholeness established. I bring them out of that place of imprisonment. I declare, O God, that the yoke of limitation be destroyed by the anointing. And Lord, O God, that the wholeness of your abiding presence, O God, will take root and place, that they being planted will now, even now, begin to flourish, even in your courts. Thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. As your representative, Lord, I declare freedom, wholeness, healings, miracles, signs, wonders accomplished even now. By faith, it is so now done. We say it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to dismiss those that are on Facebook and YouTube. But before I pray for this household here, if there's anyone on Zoom, I want to just say a quick hello to them. And then those of you in here, I'll ask you to form a line and we will pray together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. I trust that every one of you that are on Zoom, that you joined in that prayer a moment ago. And I trust that you, by faith, received the answer to whatever it is that you trust in and believe in God for. Thank God for Brother Bill, for Sister Jeanette. I believe that must be Sister Jeanette, looks like. And Sister Carol, thank God for you. Brother John, Sister Sybil, thank God for you. All right, I was right. That was Sister Jeanette. And I see Elder Andre Loye, just his name. And I'm sure Sister Loretta, Deaconess Loretta is with him. May you receive the testimony that God has in store for you. Amen. God bless you and good night. Prayer meetings are starting on the 9th and Bible studies on the 14th, I believe. And join in those meetings at that point. And of course, Sunday services, Sunday morning and Sunday evening, are also available to continue. God bless you and good night. Okay, the rest of you, please come. It's from a line. Let everything that we've trusted God for, that which we've proclaimed by the authority of His Word, be activated in every life. Receive your miracle. Receive the transformation that's available in our Father. He will not touch you with an empty hand. There will be an impartation. There will be deliverance. There will be the shattering and the destruction of yokes, the removing of burdens. That which has weighted you down and held you back will be shattered by the authority of His presence. That the presence of God will become that overflow that you will not now or ever be concerned about whatever the enemy is doing. Because whatever the enemy is doing no longer matters. Because of the anointing, you're impervious to whatever the enemy is doing. He's a defeated foe, and you're not wasting your time celebrating him or giving him thought for a moment. Amen? So as I taught you, let whatever it is that God has for you come and abide in an overflowing manner. In Jesus' mighty name. Okay, come. Receive yours. Receive your anointing. Okay, go on.